Welcome to Zichru Daf Simanim, I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos, Daf Lamed Vav. This is going to be, again, an abbreviated session in order to get this to you before Yontif. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, Abai resolves the contradiction between three brises involving the movement of shofars and trumpets. So Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the brise that permits the handling of the shofar, but not a trumpet. The shofar is permitted because he holds that it can have a permitted use, such as feeding water to a child. The trumpets have no use, and therefore they're considered a klish malakdol iser, a utensil used for a prohibited labor, which he prohibits the use of. Rabbi Shimon is the author of the brisa that permits the handling of both the shofar and the trumpet, since he holds that a klish malakdol iser, a utensil used for prohibited labor, is not muksa. And Rabbi Nechem is the author of the brisa that prohibits the handling of both the shofar and the trumpet, since he's most stringent and holds that a utensil can only be used for its primary purpose, and using the shofar to feed water to a child is not its primary purpose. Point number two, the opening mission of the third parak, Kira, states that one may place cooked food on a Kira-type stove that was heated with straw or stubble, kash ugvava, but not if it was heated with sesame pulp or wood, gefes or etzim, unless he shoveled away the coals or put ash over them. Rashi explains that the concern is that even when the pulp or wood go out, their embers radiate enough heat to cook that someone might come to stoke them on Shabbos. This concern does not apply to straw or stubble, kashugvava, once their fires have gone out. And point number three, the Gemara begins an extensive analysis to clarify if the opening mishnah of the parak reflects the view of Hananya, who stated in a brisa that any food that has been cooked to the point of Malchal ben Drusoy, one-third cooked, according to Rashi, is permitted to be left on the kira before Shabbos, even though the kira has not been shoveled or covered with ash. Rashi explains on Daf Chaf that once the food is minimally edible, there's not a concern that one might come to stoke the coals to make it better. All right, so once again, let's review. Point number one, Abai resolves the contradictions between three brises involving the movement of shofars and trumpets. Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the brises that permits the handling of the shofar, but not a trumpet. The shofar is permitted because he holds it can have a permitted use, such as feeding water to a child. The trumpets have no use, and therefore they're considered a klish malak to l'isra, a utensil used for prohibited labor, which he prohibits the use of. Rabbi Shimon is the author of the brisa that permits the handling of both the shofar and the trumpet, since he holds that a klish malak to l'isra, a utensil used for prohibited labor, is simply not muksa. And Rabbi Nechem is the author of the brisa that prohibits the handling of both the shofar and the trumpet, since he's the most stringent and holds the utensil can only be used for its primary purpose, and using the shofar to feed water to a child is not its primary purpose. Point number two, the opening mission of the third parak states that one may place cooked food on a kira-type stove that was heated with straw or stubble, kashugvava, but not if it was heated with sesame pulp or wood, gefes or etzim, unless he shoveled away the coals or put ash over them. Rashi explains that the concern is that even when the pulp or wood go out, their embers radiate enough heat to cook that someone might come to stoke them on Shabbos. This concern does not apply to straw or stubble, kashugvava, once their fires have gone out. And point number three, the Gemara begins an extensive analysis to clarify the opening mishnah reflects the view of Hananya, who stated in a brisa that any food that has been cooked to the point of Malchal ben Drusai, one-third cooked according to Rashi, is permitted to be left on the kira before Shabbos, even though the kira has not been shoveled or covered with ash. Rashi explains on Daf Chaf that once the food is minimally edible, there isn't a concern that one might come to stoke the coals to make it better. All right, so now we go to our siman. So the siman for Lamed Vav is a lulav, Lamed Vav, lulav. Here goes. Stolen lulavim, hidden in shovers and trumpets, were used as fuel in kira-type stoves and not covered with ash, because the food had reached the point of Malchal ben Drusai. Once again, in slow motion. Stolen lulavim, that means we're on Daf Lamed Vav. Stolen lulavim, hidden in shofars and trumpets, which reminds us a buyer resolves the contradictions between three brises involving the movement of shofars and trumpets. Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the brise that permits the handling of the shofar, but not a trumpet. The shofar is permitted because he holds that it can have a permitted use, such as feeding water to a child. The trumpets have no use, and therefore they're considered a klish malakdol iser, a utensil used for a prohibited labor, which he prohibits the use of. Rabbi Shimon is the author of the brisa that permits the handling of both the shofar and the trumpet, since he holds that a klish malakdol iser, a utensil used for prohibited labor, is not muksa. And Rabbi Nechem is the author of the brisa that prohibits the handling of both the shofar and the trumpet, since he's most stringent and holds that a utensil can only be used for its primary purpose, and using the shofar to feed the water to the child is not its primary purpose. So the stolen lulavim, hidden shofars and trumpets, were used as fuel in kira-type stoves and not covered with ash, which reminds us the opening mishnah of the third parak states that one may place cooked food on a kira-type stove that was heated with straw or stubble, kashugvava, but not if it was heated with sesame pulp or wood, gefurts eitzim unless you shovel away the coals or put ash over them. Rashi explains that the concern is that even when the pulp or wood go out, their embers radiate enough heat to cook that someone might come to stoke them on Shabbos. This concern does not apply to straw or stubble, kashu gvavu, once their fires have gone out. So stone ululavim, hidden in shofars and trumpets, were used as fuel in cure-type stoves and not covered with ash because the food had reached the point of machal ben drusai, which reminds the Gemara begins an extensive analysis to clarify if the opening Mishnah reflects the view of Hanani, who stayed in a brisa, that any food that has been cooked to the point of machal ben drusai, one-third cooked according to Rashi, is permitted to be left on the kira before Shabbos, even though the kira has not been shoveled or covered with ash. And Rashi explains in Daf Chaf that once the food is minimally edible, there is not a concern that one might come to stoke the coals to make it better. So once again, stone ululavim, hidden in shofars and trumpets, were used in fuel in cure-type stoves and not covered with ash, because the food had reached the point of machal ben drusai. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.